Hello, welcome to the Thursday, January 23rd, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm here recording from Palo Alto, California. In diaries today, Chris is pointing to a release by RSA where they're talking about the Adobe breach. Apparently, RSA was hired to analyze the breach and now permitted to publish a detailed analysis of the breach. I always appreciate it very much when companies come forward and release that level of detail. It really helps others protect themselves better. You gain some insight into the tactics of these more advanced attackers, what they're trying to accomplish, how they did it, in this particular case, how they sort of maintained a foothold in the system via a compromised web application, and how some of the mitigation efforts actually failed as a result of not properly recognizing initially how the initial intrusion happened. It's really hard to do this report justice with a quick summary here in the podcast, so I highly encourage you to read the whole thing and draw your own conclusions. And then there is an interesting new and so far unpatched vulnerability in Chrome related to Chrome's use of the camera and the microphone. Whenever you give a website permission to use the camera and the microphone in Chrome, the permission does apply to all open windows to the website. What this means is that if you close the primary window, there may be a pop on the window that you don't immediately recognize that it keeps the microphone or the camera open and continues to acquire data. This is sort of a design decision on the Chrome's team's part. Now, they know about the vulnerability, they're going to fix it, but at this point, there is no fix available. Best recommendation at this point, be careful which website you give permission to access the microphone and the camera. And if you have done that, make sure you exit Chrome so all windows are closed. ISPs in Britain are starting to implement various porn filters at the urging of British authorities. Now, some ISPs have done that for a while, but in particular this year, various large ISPs are expected to join. And the way this is supposed to work is to filter adult materials unless the user asks specifically to have these filters removed from this user's account. The problem is that these filters appear to be fairly simplistic and just block file names with certain keywords in them. So at this point, for example, these filters are accused of blocking a particular update for an online game, League of Legends. This particular update contains the part in the file name Chains Extended, where Chains ends with S, Extended starts with EX. So this matches the keyword string sex and as a result may have been rejected. It's not clear if this is actually the case, if there's another reason why this particular file cannot be downloaded by some users, but one reason these filters have gotten under criticism is also that their exact technology and application is somewhat hidden and not necessarily made public. And talking about filters and ways to bypass them, a couple of Swedish researchers conducted a pretty exhaustive survey of Tor exit nodes. And among the 1,000 or so exit nodes that they surveyed, they found a small number, about 25 if I remember correctly, that actually acted malicious. Now, some Tor exit nodes just block access to certain sites, but others will launch man-in-the-middle attacks using tools like, for example, SSL strip, or just simply use self-signed certificates trying to intercept SSL traffic. With the self-signed certificates, of course, you will get a warning message. SSL strip, on the other hand, you may not see a warning message at all, but you will just be redirected to an HTTP, an unencrypted copy of the particular website. And then finally, we also got an update for iTunes, so make sure that you patch this particular version of iTunes. Again, fixes a number of security vulnerabilities. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.